You are listening to the Health and Success Hour with Dr. Diane A. Thompson and friends. Join us each week right here on Atlanta's incredible radio, WIGO AM 1570, Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for information to keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. For more information, contact Dr. Diane A. Thompson at www.drdianethompson.com.
Right. So on this week's show, I have with me Hugh Rowe, and Hugh is the founder and president of Hugh Rowe Associates, and I'm going to let him tell us what exactly he does in his organization. So welcome to our show, Hugh.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you very much, Dr. Thompson. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
All right. So tell us what exactly do you do at Hugh Rowe Associates?
Well, what we do is that we use a biblical foundation to show individuals how to actually get from where they are to where they wish to go, and in doing that to develop their mindset on who they actually need to become to accomplish it. And then we use the roadmap that others have used. And unfortunately, a lot of individuals assume that they have to reinvent the wheel. And to be able to not only accomplish what they wish to achieve, but also to have a sense of fulfillment. Because you and I have seen and read on the news where a number of individuals who we assume to have it all at each point have either ended their lives or tried to end their life. Because from the outside looking in, we see where they have a lot of money in which they can they were able to buy anything that they need, but at the same time, they were living a life of emptiness. So what my company does is to show where you can actually have it, and at the same time have a feeling of fulfillment, because it was Anthony Robbins, whom I heard made the statement that pleasure is temporary, but fulfillment is permanent. And there's a confusion between what is deemed as being pleasure and what is being deemed as fulfillment. And psychologists, as you know, they have written abundant articles on the human tendency to always move towards pleasure, and so we try to teach the definition of what pleasure is and what fulfillment is and how you can actually achieve it and have a life balance.
I am so happy that you mention that having it all doesn't always, it's not always what we think it is, right?
Right.
Because I have seen, and as you mentioned, yeah, recently even, there have been people who have taken their lives, and the first thing you think is, wow, I mean, this is someone who is famous, this was someone who is wealthy, this was someone who on the surface looked like they had it all, and yet there must have been some emptiness, some feeling of hopelessness that would make them, you know, take their lives. So you're correct. Things aren't always the way they seem. Now, you mentioned that you use biblical principles. So I always have to, for lack of a better term, be the devil's advocate. There are people out there, people out there who may not have the strong faith that you have, but are looking for success, lasting, sustaining success. Do you feel then that this is not possible without the deep-rooted faith?
Well, Napoleon Hill. He wrote his famous book, Think and Grow Rich. And one of the key things he wrote about is that one must have faith. And he pointed to that your faith should not be just shallow, but there should be a deep rooted faith. And so the question now becomes, what is faith? And faith by definition means, by Webster's definition, it's that it means to have a complete trust or confidence in something or someone. That's one of the definitions. The definition that Webster gives is strong belief in God, in the doctrine of a religion on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And then when you go to the biblical definition that Webster alludes to, you see where it says in the book of Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so through faith we understand that the world was formed by the word. And now I'm not a scholar per se of the Bible where I could tell you that, well, from this word it came from the Greek word. Mm-hmm. but like the wealthy men of old, like John D. Rockefeller and all those individuals, they were strong readers of the Bible. And when you look at and from my book, I have studied the lives of all these individuals, and I picked a couple what we call the patriarchs of the Bible, who have achieved the success just like these individuals are. And in my book, I chose the life of Joseph because his was so transcending. It makes it easier to explain. So from his story, you see where everyone needs what you call a foundation and a constant in which they can measure where they are and where they are going to, and something to compare. And so when you look at faith from a biblical perspective, and when you read the numerous articles on happiness and achievement, one of the ironies of it all is that they all come to the same conclusion, which is they cannot find a concluded conclusion to the matter. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why they don't do that is because they do not base their research on the Bible, but they base on their research on everything that happened after what we call in biblical terms, after sin entered the world. So if you're going to do a comparison, you have to have what is called a standard. So if you wish to travel 1 mile, you have to have a constant, and you also have to have a variable, and you start measuring from the constant. to that variable. In mathematics, of course, you have the different laws. In law, you have, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, you have something called the precedent that was set before for the other judges who come afterwards to go back and look on, so as they are able to make a judgment on it. So what you find is that every occupation has something set in place. And so when you look at faith, you look at where faith started from. And from that you can make an assessment where everyone who has written any book on success has faith as one of their key prerequisites. Because if you don't have faith that you will achieve something, then you won't. The other thing is that you can have faith in something. For example, I may say I know that I will become an actor, and I work on it, and then I become a very good actor. So much so that I am given awards upon awards. But if my faith was not aligned in someone greater and outside of myself, then after the accomplishment, I would not have that, goes back again to the term or to the word fulfillment. I would not have felt fulfilled. And so when you have faith, not in something, but in someone, it helps you and keeps you grounded. And if I have the time, I'll give you along the story of a lawyer in the Bible again, who came to Jesus and asked him, which commandment is greater? And Jesus said that among the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might and with all thy soul. And then the second one is just as great, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so what you find is that, what you find is that the commandments, as we know it, is divided into two. The very first four, it points to God, in which we have faith in God. And then the latter six points to what we should do after our love to God, which is service to mankind. And throughout history, what you find is, And even in accomplishment, one of the things that we are encouraged to do, not only by our employers, but by individuals who have attained great wealth and riches, is to, as soon as you accomplish something, always be mindful of giving back. And this, as you see, and will read, allows them to keep a balanced life.
I see. Now, for those who are listening in and not familiar with Hugh's work, Hugh is the author of the book Joseph's Memoir, and he just alluded to it, and it's Joseph's Memoir, Life Lessons for a Successful You. Now, Hugh, we are talking about success tonight, and people define success in different ways. How exactly do you define it?
Well, to be able to achieve fulfillment at the end of your days, so that you can look back and have no regrets.
I really like that, because it doesn't say any amount of money or any particular attainment, right? So right. It can vary from person to person. Now, I happen to know you. I know your background. And in my mind, I see you as very successful. But as you tell it, this was not always the case. So I'm curious to know for you, because someone else can learn from your process. What was it that got you? So share just a little bit about where you were before, where you are today, and what really was it that got you here? How did you, what did you use in terms of strategies to get to this level of success?
Well, I have always wanted to have a huge house and I'm a wonderful car. I've always set my eyes. I've always said that because of my allergies to animals and fur, I said, well, the only cat I wanted to own was a jaguar. You wouldn't have defeated it. and so of course my background is that I was born in Jamaica. We didn't have enough. I didn't born in a family that had it all. And so one of my my main thrust was not to live the life that I lived while growing up. I wanted to accomplish. I used to watch the show on TV, The Lives of the Rich, Rich and Famous, and I've always said yes, that is what I always wish to accomplish. And so I chose the field of medicine to do that, because it was not just the money, but my mother was known throughout the neighborhood as someone who would share even the little that she had. And she would never walk by anyone without stopping and greeting them and asking them how they were doing, and would try to find some way to help them. And so seeing how my mom lived, and based on her example and her strong faith as well, that even when she didn't have much, she was still praising God for life. And so I developed the love for taking care of people, and chose the avenue of medicine. And so I said to myself, I would be the best neurosurgeon ever. But
that's interesting. I never knew you had that goal. Wow.
That was my goal.
Oh wow.
My ultimate goal was to find the way to make someone who was someone who was fixed to a wheelchair walk again.
So
I had everything all mapped out on diagrams. I spoke with doctors in the field. They told me that I was an idiot. It would never happen. but I knew that I could make it happen. But when the faith you have when we're, but when God said you may wish to have someone walk, but I wish for you to teach others instead how to walk, and instead of doing it one by one, I wish for you to develop another way of helping them not to walk to destruction, but to walk to where they wish to get to. And so one day, after the university, it came to me that that's not where God wanted me to go. And so it took me a while. And after I came to the United States, I started working, and I got a pink slip. And it was in getting the pink slip that I met a mentor who he actually figured out the answers to the questions I had, what true success was, what it meant, and that the path that I had chosen was not the right path.
By the way, that is
the wrong reason.
That is awesome that it was a pink slip that change the trajectory of your life into, you know, doing the thing that you really wanted to do. Because what happens is actually for many people, it is the disappointment. It is the pink slip or, you know, someone breaking off with them, that's someone that probably wasn't good for them to begin with. It is that disappointment that should turn them in the right direction. But unfortunately for some, they're so busy looking back at the pink slip or the disappointment that they never get to the what's waiting for them. So good for right. you. You met that mentor and it got you to this level where, as you said, you're helping many learning how to walk, not in the way that you had envisioned before, but certainly in a different way. So congratulations to that. But and then my follow-up question to this is, you know, there are people out there who, young people who may not have the mentor. They may not have the nurturing environment that your mom provided. They may not have someone to give them some direction. And so they're out there floundering. Success is eluding them and they just don't know how to get there. And even if they're trying and they're wanting to give up, they don't know how to continue. What advice would you have for those people?
Well, there is a mantra that goes, to succeed, you have to have a burning desire. And a lot of people either have that burning desire or they assume that they have it. And so the question I have is that the desire you have, is it something that if someone should hold a gun to your head and ask you to change your mind, would you say yes without thinking? Or would you think about it? Or would you say no without thinking? Now, if it calls for you saying, no, I won't change without even thinking, it means then that you have that burning desire. It is something that you would die for. Now, a lot of people, unfortunately, again, have the burning desire, but after a while, it burns out. And so you may ask a question, or it brings us back to the question is, how do you keep that desire burning? And so when you look again, you have what is on the fuel that one needs to keep that fire burning. It comes through again, faith, hope, love, and passion. Now here is where these three things come into play to create to paint a big picture. If you love something with a passion, then you will always wish to see it through, hoping that it will bring in that substance that you desire. If we go again to the Bible, First Corinthians 13 and verse 13, it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so if you have a burning passion for something, and if the hope is attached to it, then the hope mixed with your love will give you will build upon that faith in getting that accomplishment. And even in his book, I refer to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I love his opening statement that he made. And he said, thoughts are things, and powerful things at that, when they are mixed with definiteness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire for their translation into whatever it is that you wish to have. Now, unfortunately. The research has shown that the majority of people, especially in the middle class and the poor, when they leave school, that's the end of their reading process.
Yep. Now, that's you are correct, and it's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. In fact, right. You know, as you mentioned that, and I'm hoping folks that are listening in will really pay attention to that. Most of the successful people that are out there read quite a bit. So if you're someone who's not reading, you really need to think about it. Go on you.
Exactly. And so if someone wants to achieve and achieve a dream, find someone who has achieved what you wish to achieve. And if you cannot call them or tweet them or doing something in which you are connected with them physically, then look for the books that they either read or wrote.
Yeah.
And see what their process was. Because in the Bible again, it begins with one of my favorite texts goes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh," and so all the poets and the Bible scholars and the Bible writers says from the abundance of the heart, and the heart can mean from the abundance of the passion of the heart comes whatsoever a man thinks and whatsoever a man speaks. And so once the Word becomes flesh, it is based on you doing what you can do. You go to bed thinking about it, and you wake up in the morning thinking about it. And I just can recall I was listening to an interview. Someone was interviewing one of the Jackson brothers. I think it was Jermaine. And one of the points he brought out was about his brother Michael Jackson and the Thriller album. And he said, when the Thriller album was being made, You would walk past Michael, and the only thing you will hear him mumbling is, "This is going to be the best album ever. This is going to be the best album ever. This is going to be the best." mm-hmm. He was mumbling those words to himself at every opportunity. And you and I know that history has it as
there was some self-fulfilling process. That's right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the things I teach, especially my young people, instead of looking in the mirror and saying, "This is one of my best hairdos ever," try to change those words and attaching what you want and what you wish to do into something that will elevate you. In doing something not for yourself for selfish reasons, but doing something for your fellow man, because it is either those who have made it because they have put in place or they have invented a product or service for individuals who can afford it. And who, once they use it, say, "This is one of the best things ever." So for Michael Jackson's listeners of the Thriller album, it forces them to say, this music is some of the best music that I have ever heard. And their
That's
reaction,
right.
They went out and bought the album.
Right. So as we're getting to the last few moments of our conversation, I mean, I'm going to recap something you said because many of my mentors, I've never met them. I've met their words in the pages of their books, and I've learned a lot from them because if they're successful, right? They do say success leaves clues, right? But you just have to go read and find those clues. So they're in books, and if there's someone that I really look up to, I respect what they do, I know where to find that information. So I think that's great advice in terms of, you know, not reinventing the wheel, but going, picking up the book and looking at those people who are successful so you can learn some of those principles. Now, Hugh, do you have anything coming up soon in terms of speeches, workshops, any talks, anything that our folks listening in can show up and learn some of your success teachings?
Well, there are many, and what I would encourage them to do is to log onto my website or go to my website, which is www.hugherowe, that's hugherowe.com, and they can see where I will be when I will be there. Follow me, of course, on Twitter and Facebook, and they will see exactly where I'll be. I'm also working on my second book.
Wonderful.
Which gives the background perspective of King Solomon, for those who know the Bible, are we aware that King Solomon is noted as the wisest man who ever lived?
Oh wow! When is that book due out?
That book is due out in late spring of next year.
All right, so we're gonna look out for that book, and we know the other book, which is filled with life lessons for success, is Joseph's memoir. As I said, it's Joseph's memoir, Life Lessons for a Successful You. And Hugh's website, as he said, is hugherowe.com. And I'll make sure all of that is also available on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Diane A. Thompson. Hugh, any parting words as we're about to end?
Yes, sure. My parting word is always have faith in something. You must have faith in something, and then trust yourself. And don't try to be perfect. For everyone whom I've met, they all say that perfection came through making errors and mistakes. And
agreed.
The more mistakes you make, the more perfect you become.
In fact, if you're not making mistakes, you're not challenging yourself enough.
You are not challenging yourself.
That's right.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much.
And again, read.
Absolutely. That's where the information is. That's where it's hidden. All right, Hugh, thank you so much for sharing that bit of knowledge with us. And
thank you, Dr. Thompson.
All right. You take good care of yourself, Hugh.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
If you've missed any portion of this broadcast or would like to find out more about Dr. Diane A. Thompson, please join us on www.drdianethompson.com. That's www.drdianethompson.com. Remember, your health is your wealth. Have a great evening.